saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes, great for any project. Whether you're pouring a walkway, a concrete slab, or setting a post, view our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. The NFL Combine kicks off today, and joining us now is TD, Teron Davenport, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, are you in Indianapolis this week?
Yeah, I'm in Indianapolis. I'm sitting here with Coach Mack, man. He's the mayor of Indianapolis. I tell you, there's not a soul that walks by that doesn't stop and shake his hand.
That's awesome. Well, tell the mayor of Indianapolis that we said hello. Gideon, I wanted to get your philosophy on the NFL Combine. I know that maybe some philosophies have changed over the years, but how much do you really think that you can take away from the Combine? Is it a game changer for you if a player doesn't run a 40 or doesn't do a certain workout this week?
No, it's not really a game changer for me. I mean, obviously, you like to see the guys compete, but, I mean, if they don't, like you look at Marvin Harrison Jr., he has reasons for it. I think really, like for me, like from my perspective, I like getting to sit in front of these guys and talk to them and just kind of gauge their love for football. And just, I always like to get like how much they know about the game. So like I'll throw a random player comp from back in the day. And you know, if they are like, hey, you know what? I remember that guy and I watched him. I kind of get a little thrill out of that. So that's pretty much what it is for me, you know, and also the opportunity to just, you know, talk to a lot of people here. And really, you know, talking to the prospects, like, gauge their competitiveness. Tell me why you're the best receiver here. Tell me why no quarterback here is better than you. So that's what I get out of it.
Yeah, I mean, bring up Marvin Harrison. You know, he has said, look, I'm preparing for the NFL, not the NFL Combine. Oh, Caleb Williams isn't going to be throwing. I have no problem with that. Those players have nothing to gain and everything to lose. They're already considered top prospects. So it doesn't bother me that they're not going to be doing certain workouts or the 40s or throwing or so on and so forth. Who are you going to have an eye on this week, TD? Who is on the TD radar this week at the Combine? Any position or specific player?
Yeah, no, you know, let me say this, though. I think Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels should absolutely throw. And, I mean, because you look like that's what you do. Okay. Like, you throw the football. Like, that's what you do. And you look at what C.J. Stroud did last year. He threw. And even you look at Stetson Bennett. He threw, and all of a sudden teams realized that he could throw that deep in-breaking route and that he has a better arm than what was advertised at Georgia. So I think he should absolutely throw, both of those guys. But as far as, like, guys that I'm looking forward to seeing, I say Stetson Bennett. It leads me right to J.J. McCarthy, because I think he's another one whose ability was just kind of tapered by that offense, you know, the run-first offense. I mean, you look, there were games where, you know, there was one game where he didn't even throw the football in the second half. So I would like to see him. I'm looking forward to seeing some of these other guys run. You know, I think Keon Coleman, who I'm going to spend a lot of time with here this week, I think he's going to test really well. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. So those are two guys right off the bat. I think the Clemson corner, I think he's going to run pretty well too. I heard that at 6'2", he's going to run in the 4.3s. And if he does that, you know what? You know, he might as well go ahead and put some more commas behind that check he's about to get.
Yeah, you're right about that, TD. We'll talk with Teron Davenport. He is up in Indianapolis this week for the NFL Combine. Now, you bring up the corner. The corner is Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. I think that's one of, you know, having DBs more. I would say having DBs more than wide receivers workout in the combine, I think, is critical for those guys, because I need to see how you're going to turn your hips. I need to see, you know, you getting in and out of breaks. I need to see that 40, because, listen, you have to be sometimes even faster because you're transitioning. You don't know what these receivers are doing, so you got to be able to transition from point A to point B just as well as they transition, you know, from you know, point A or point B of their routes, running a comeback or a curl. So beside Nate Wiggins, you know, what other DB are you going to be looking at? I know Alabama's DB, Kool-Aid, and the defensive back out of Iowa, but he's a safety / corner. So I look at him more of a safety nickel guy.
Yeah, and Cooper DeJean, he's not going to work out. Mm-hmm. So he'll be here for the interviews. I tell you, a corner, like I keep mentioning him every time, you know, we talk about cornerbacks, and that's Kyree Jackson. Mm-hmm. He's a 6'3 cornerback. I watched him during one-on-ones move really well. He's out of Oregon. And, you know, to be that size and able to transition in and out of his breaks and do the things that he was able to do as far as covering in one-on-ones, that impressed me. So I want to see how that transfers to testing. And even in watching, you know, Washington tape, you know, I watched a lot of Rome Odunze, and I consistently saw, you know, he and Kyree Jackson go at it, you know, and there were times where Kyree Jackson put the clamps on the guy opposite Odunze, and that's Jalen Polk. So I want to see him. I want to see also Malik Mustafa. He's not a corner, but he's a safety out of Wake Forest. He didn't do much at the Senior Bowl, but he's, you know, I mentioned earlier where you bring up a guy, a comp, like a blast from the past. Well, I told him he reminds me of Bob Sanders when I watch him play, and he lit up, you know. And so I want to see how he's able to test. You know, Bob Sanders, he tested out of this world when he was here. So I want to see Malik Mustafa.
Now, Caroline and I had a conversation about, you know, if Alt is not there at 7, and, you know, maybe, you know, Neighbors is there or Odunze is there. But I've said to her, I said, listen, to me, receiver is a need, but it's not a dire need. I'm starting to realize that maybe, just maybe, if they can't get their tackle, then cornerback is a dire need for them, because right now they only have one cornerback on the roster under contract, and that's McQuarrie. Everyone else is a free agent. Now, you hope that they sign, you know, a free agent. I know Xavier Howard, but he said his interest is possibly going somewhere else, so that may take him off the table. But what would you say if the Titans chose, if that guy is not there, whether it be Alt or I love Fashanu. We were trying to figure out, is it Fashanu or...
I was listening to the Athletic Football Podcast over the weekend, and they called him Fashanu.
Yeah, I've never heard Fashanu. Always heard Fashanu, but hey, I mean, we'll know in a couple of days when
exactly.
they announce him, right?
So, you know? So if Alt is not there, say Fashanu is there, but you may have a cornerback rated higher than him, would you move down in the draft to then get that cornerback potentially, or would you stay at 7 and pick the offensive tackle?
Well, here's the thing, D-Mace, it's really interesting, mm-hmm. because I was looking at the draft, you know, just the order of the last couple of days, and just mm-hmm. trying to see, okay, in what scenario would a team want to jump up and take the Titans pick? Well, you look at the Falcons, right? Mm-hmm. If they don't trade for a quarterback, you know, you got J.J. McCarthy. He's probably going to be on their map. You know what I mean? And J.J. McCarthy is a rising prospect, you know, among the draft rumors, so to speak. So now you look, they're at 8. If a team like the Raiders or somebody wants to jump the Falcons, now they move up to 7. And now, you know, the Titans move down into the teens. And, yeah, that's when, you know, some of these corners will be there. Keon Mitchell, a guy I really like out of Toledo. You mentioned Terrion Arnold. You mentioned Nate Webster. You know, there's a bunch of guys that are going to be there that, you know, at the cornerback position. And that is a position that is a premium one in this league. So I could definitely see them moving back. But it's just – there's just such a void, mm-hmm. offensive line, man. And it's not a premier – tackle that they could get in free agency, so they have to look at that position in the first two rounds, you know, within reason. Like, you never reach, but within reason they have to look at that position. So it'll be tough to see a trade back, you know what I mean, if they do trade back, and then they you know, at the top of the second get a guy like Houston's Patrick Paul or somebody like that. Now you're still working, but you still need to get that receiver, and that's where free agency for the receiver position comes into play. You know, T. Higgins got tagged, and there's other guys available, but can you get that dominant guy that you really want?
We'll talk with Teron Davenport. He's up in Indianapolis this week covering the NFL Combine. Now, would you be opposed, because you did talk about, say if the Titans aren't able to address the wide receiver position, or address it to a point where, hey, listen, this guy's coming in, he's going to be our bona fide number one or number two. So that makes what, Mike Evans or, you know, T. Higgins, but you would have to do a sign and trade with him, potentially Pittman Jr. Those are your number one guys. And Ridley can be a number one as well. But if you don't go that route and you do draft a tackle at the seventh position, would you be opposed to them possibly moving up late in the first round, which means they would have to give their second round pick and something else to get, say, a Brian Thomas Jr. or Keon Coleman?
Yeah, see, you're speaking to my spirit now. You know, Keon Coleman, I love watching him play. And I'll put it to you this way. How many 6'4 guys, and D-Mace, you've done it before, so you know the difficulty. How many 6'4 guys are able to go back and successfully return punts? You don't see that movement ability too much and that elusiveness too much out of a guy that's 6'4", but that's what you get in Keon Coleman. And it's always fun to be able to throw the alley-oop. And, you know, as a former Spartan, I'm sure that you were
– I'm trying to figure out how they let him get out of that build.
Gosh! Yeah. I mean, he played ball there, football and basketball there. So, you know, he's a guy I really like. And I believe the Titans are high on him as well. And then you mentioned Brian Thomas Jr. And, you know, that's the fun thing of watching LSU, right? You get the best of both worlds. You get the catch and run from Malik Nabers. But then you get that vertical threat that Brian Thomas is. And the thing that's really cool about him is this guy didn't start playing football until he's in 10th grade. You know, so there's still more that you could get out of him. And that's where a Tyke Tolbert could come into play and really get that potential. So, yeah, I mean, I would be all for moving back in there and getting those types of guys, because they're premier players, in my opinion.
Let's go back to Marvin Harrison Jr. and the article that was written about him. I think it was on PFF or SI. It might have been SI. SI.
Yeah.
About him. And I said this years ago, you know, in regards to Treylon Burks, I said, you know, and a lot of these receivers, not a lot, of, let's say a handful of these receivers, that they prepare for the combine so much because it's so ingrained in their mind. I got to test well. I got to do the three cone, but they never truly work out for a full NFL season. Do you think if this works with Marvin Harrison Jr. in regards, we know, you know, more than likely his play is going to be outstanding. We know that. But as far as from an injury standpoint, if we don't see him sort of have those nagging hamstrings or don't hit that proverbially rookie wall, then maybe this is the route that other players or receivers will take moving forward, because there's a difference between working out for individual drills, i.e. combine, 40, three-cone drills, and working out for an NFL season.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And it's funny you mentioned Treylon Burks, because I remember talking to him at the end of the year last year, and that's what he said. He was like, man, I can't wait to just train for football and not this, you know, the stuff that I did. And now you can thank Mike Mamula for that, right, being the combine champion, you know, and he got drafted higher because of that. And, you know, he ended up going above Warren Sapp. But I think when you look at Marvin Harrison Jr., the thing to me that you have to remember is just how much he stood out statistically. Mm-hmm. Like, this dude at Ohio State, you know, was better than Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Chris Olave said he's better than him. Garrett Wilson said he was better than him too. So it's like you're getting an outstanding talent. I don't know that if I'm a receiver and I have speed that I wouldn't at least run that 40. And I want teams to see me get in and out of my breaks. And the only guy I could think of, like, you know, you got Calvin Johnson. He ran the 40 in somebody else's shoes. But you look back to 2008 Michael Crabtree when he came out, and he had done so well statistically, and he was a Biletnikoff Award winner. He didn't run because he had that foot injury, and he ended up still getting drafted high, but he didn't get drafted as high as a lot of people thought he would, you know, as far as the top five. He went ninth, I believe it was, to the 49ers. So I would think that you look at it a little bit differently with a guy like Harrison, who's just clearly on most boards the best receiver here. There's some who have neighbors up there with him, but I don't think that it's something that would be repeated consistently.
TD is with us. Teron Davenport is brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, one thing that we were discussing earlier was one thing that you brought up with Jared on the TD Power Hour last week about how the fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds don't have the same kind of depth or talent because players are sticking around longer for NIL. Jim Nagy also touched on that. He said 58 underclassmen this year declared for the draft. 2019, pre-NIL, it was 144, so a massive drop-off there. Yeah. Should we start looking at the value of fifth, sixth, and seventh round picks a little bit differently?
Yes and no. I mean, I think because there's less players there, but I mean, you look, once you get past the fifth round, like, you're drafting for traits. So, you know,
but you always have kind of.
Yeah, you always have. That's what you always do. But you never know, like, what type of situation will warrant a player, you know, coming out as opposed to going back. So I wouldn't discount those picks. I would still, you know, place a little bit more emphasis on the higher ones, you know, the day one and day two especially. But I wouldn't just, you know, discard them. There's still opportunities to get good players.
So we learned that the Bengals placed the franchise tag on T. Higgins, which I don't think is that great of a surprise. I think we all kind of expected the Bengals to place the franchise tag on T. Higgins. But do you think that he is still a tag and trade candidate? I saw earlier that Zach Taylor said that he's glad that that T. Higgins will continue to be a big part of our offense and our team. Do you expect T. Higgins to continue to be a tag and trade candidate, or are the hopes of T. Higgins potentially wearing a Titans uniform going to dwindle?
Yeah, I think the hopes should dwindle, and they've been dwindling for some time now, you know, as these rumors continue to come out. But there's something you have to consider there in Cincinnati, and that's this. You have a huge contract there for Joe Burrow. Ja'Marr Chase is eligible for a new deal. And for what I've heard, he wants a new deal. So you got that monkey that you got to, you know, let me not say it that way. You got that hurdle that you have to consider, right? And then on top of that, are you going to pay Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, a record-breaking contract, and a major contract to T. Higgins? I don't know that they'll be able to do that. So I think, you know, there may be some things in play, but then at the same time, do you give up what it takes to trade for a T. Higgins and turn around and sign him to a market-setting contract? I don't know that I do that, and that's what these teams are going to have to consider.
Yeah, they are. But do you think it would be, even though he's eligible for a new contract, meaning Ja'Marr Chase, I think they should sign T. Higgins back. I think they have the best, you know, 1-2 combination. When everyone is healthy, they probably have the best 1-2 combination in the National Football League.
Yeah.
But looking at Chase, maybe they're able to get away with it because Chase wants to see what Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb get in their deals. Because even though Chase may set the market, it's going to be immediately broke by whoever signs first, CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, well, here's the deal, though. If you sign, because T. Higgins is going to want his money if you do a long-term deal. Mm-hmm. And let's say, so you look at the tag, it's like, so if they sign him, this, I think it's like $23 million, and then next year it's going to be like $26 million. So the average is around $25 million. He's not going to agree to a deal because, you know, that's 2 years, and he's right there at around $25 million per. He's not going to agree to a deal that's less than that. So now you sign T. Higgins to a deal that's, you know, $25 million to $28 million, maybe $30 million per. That sets the floor for Ja'Marr Chase. So I don't think T. Higgins gets a deal this year. I think he plays on that tag, but then they are going to have to really have some figuring out to do the following year. So it's like, okay, do you want to just have the last dance, you know, Cincinnati version this year, or do you want to, you know, go ahead and see what you could get for him now? And I think that's what it boils down to.
And that's the toughest decision a general manager probably could make. But I look at it and say, look, if we can make this a last dance, let's do it.
I wish we had that problem here in Nashville.
Yeah, what a great problem to have. And not a who the heck is going to be playing receiver for this team coming up this season. TD, enjoy Indianapolis. Looking forward to all of your coverage from the Combine. Tell us about ESPN Bet.
Yeah, for sure, man. I appreciate you all having me on. Definitely make sure you check out ESPN Bet. That's ESPN's live app. It's now in Tennessee. And as the official sports book of ESPN, ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. If you sign up today as a new user, you get $100 in bonus bets, and that's for making any sportsbook bet. You have all your favorite markets and bets. You know, you got the in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props that you can handle. This is a good week to do it because you're going to have the combine bets and props too. So that's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For problem gambling support, call or text TN Redline at 800-889-9789. And as always, terms and conditions apply. See the app for details.
Absolutely.
Like the end of one of those car commercials, man.
You killed it, TD. We appreciate you as always. We'll catch up next week and look forward to catching up more from Indianapolis.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, TD. Teron Davenport, he is the very best. We'll react to what TD had to say there coming up next. Plus, what are deal breakers for us with the combine? How much does D-Mace look into the combine, specifically at the receiver position? What can change this upcoming week in Indianapolis? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.